Look at everybody here. I'm trying. I'm not good with jokes. I wasn't really. Pastor Moore is better. So I'm going to talk about the Word of God tonight. It's my favorite subject. I love the Word of God. I can't get over it. It's like it's alive. I had a pastor friend that told me that his they used to have a deacon go out in the church, and he used to open air preach. He used to take the Bible and throw it on the ground and go, "It's alive!" And people will come run around. He'd pick it up, open it, start preaching. But I never tried that one. I heard Pastor Shiloh used his shoe before as a telephone. That was pretty cool. So if you guys could open to 1 John, we'll go to 1 John chapter 1. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to pray that you would guide my heart, my mind. Help me, Lord, to use what I believe you've given me and to bless everyone in this room. And I may share what you've shared with me. Lord, that this would come from you. And just let us be enriched in it tonight, Lord. And let it be fresh. Let us not be familiar, Lord. Help us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this message, as much as if I could do one more joke now, I'm just kidding. Usually we'd say the message this was for, the person's not here, so I guess I have a new one. No, I'm just kidding. This was actually something God has spoken to me recently, and surprisingly, and I say that because I never thought that God would say this to me, but he did, and he had every right to. So if we, 1 John 1:1, it's. I think that, we hold in our hands something very, like this right here is not normal, right? We have a belief that God has preserved his word, right? Is that it? Like, we believe God preserved it. God had given us his mind. If anything that we would want to know about God, it's in a book. And it's like complete, 66 books and a canon of scripture. It's like, it's in English, right? we have it. But how easily we can take it for granted. And I want to talk about this time. I want to talk about the Word of God. I think it's very, God has spoken to me recently, and I felt like it was a challenge. I'm just going to start reading 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. All right, so really I want to focus on verse 1, though, because that's really that's kind of like the heart of this. And it says something peculiar here. It says, word of life. And throughout the Bible, you hear this used differently. Now, when we say the word, you know that it has two different applications, right? Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't always Jesus. You guys know that, right? Like, Jesus has to do with this humanity. Actually, in the scriptures, if you read in the New Testament, the only time that he is referred to as Jesus, actually being his humanity, was actually by demons and unsaved Pharisees. The disciples called him Rabbi, Master, Lord, right? But he was, Jesus has to do with his humility. That's really what that has to do with, the suffering servant. And we know that we know no man after the flesh no more. Now we know him as the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he always was the Lord. But now we understand in his glory, he's in glory right now. But when he was here, we have to understand that he wasn't always Jesus Christ. You know, you guys know John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Not anything that was made with, oh, how's it go? It says, and nothing was made that was made, right? And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I think about that. In the beginning was the Word. And in the beginning, it always was, right? That's kind of like his position, right? The second person of the Trinity. He is God's Son, And I say that because there's some, it's important to understand there are some translations today that really miss that. And I do encourage you guys, if you guys are Bible readers, I encourage the Authorized Version. I know because of the language and stuff today, people don't really understand sometimes, but there are some new versions that really miss the mark. You know, one, I was actually sitting with a brother not too long ago, and the NIV, if you read Acts 13:33, it says that it uses a scripture from the Old Testament, and it's quoting Psalm 2 when it says, "Today I have begotten thee, I have brought you into this world." And they quote it in Acts 13. Can I just put that up? I just have to say it. Can you, Valerie, can you do the NIV version, Acts 13:33? You don't have that? I don't want to, like, make anybody, like, blush in here, but if you have an NIV, does anybody have an NIV in here? No, I'm just being serious. No, because this is, yeah, could you please? You want to, and this is no condemnation. I used to read an NIV and everything. I'm just saying this. These are things to be careful of, because if we take some of these things serious, they could really be. Yeah, could you read it real quick?
He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, "You are my son, today I have become your father."
All right, so it says, "Today I have become your father." Now, does that sound? No, that's it. That's all I want to go. Now, listen to that for a minute. He's saying at this moment in time, at when Christ came into the world, "I have now become your father." Does that sound a little off? It's a lot different than begotten. Begotten is to bring forth, to declare, to manifest. He brought him into the world. He always existed, though. He always was in relation with the Father. He is the second person. That scripture there just is heresy. It's saying that he became his father. The relationship just started when he was in the earth. So Jehovah's Witness teach that he was a created less God that created the earth, but he wasn't God. Jesus is God Almighty. He is God Almighty, by the scriptures declare. So that's all I want to say. It's very important to understand those things. I only brought that up just because, you know, I just felt led to say that. I really do. But if you read the other, you know, no condemnation, you read other Bibles other than the Authorized Version, you know, I just encourage the Authorized Version just because of the context. You know, if you guys want to know what God really said, I believe that's where you're going to find it. But the Word of Life, First John 1:1, the Word of Life. So he's called the Word of Life here. So I guess my convictions that I've had recently, and I'm going to have to really wrap this up, is. So I feel like at everything that I've been doing in my life, in my Christian walk, I notice that I'm very involved in studying the Bible, right? And am I really reading the Bible? And that's kind of what I felt, you know? Like, am I really reading the Word of God, or am I just reading what someone else read about it? So I think this is important to talk about, because I think that today, I think my personal opinion, and this is not a condemnation, and I'm not trying to be like some kind of, you know, Pharisee, like putting some burden on you or nothing, but I just, you know, I think that one of the biggest issues that the church has today is a lack of knowing what the Word of God says. How many situations do we deal with in a day? And I'm only reciting what he told me. Has anybody walked? I walk. He talks to me sometimes. You guys ever hear that psalm or that hymn that says, "He walks with me and he's..." Yeah, yeah. And he calls me stupid. So I'm serious. Like, how many situations do we deal with a day? How many, you go to the gas station, you talk to a family member, you go to work. How many, I deal with a lot of people at my job, people from different denominations, different situations. At one minute, a machine blows up and you got to figure it out. Like, how many situations do we deal with? Man, we got to know what the Word of God says. Like, we really need to know what the Bible says, because if not, what we're doing is we're now leaning, as the Bible says, on our own understanding. We're resorting back to our old nature and things that would bring us into, you know, worldliness, lust, whatever it is, but we're not being led by God, because how God would want us to think, how God would want us to respond is in the Word of God, is in the Bible. You know, I'm just going to read off some, you know, the Word of God has been mentioned throughout the Bible is many different things. It's mentioned as water, as bread, right? It's been mentioned as veggies, as a sword, as a knife. Ephesians, it's talked the sword of the Spirit, right? And then you have Hebrews 4:12, where it says that it is able to divide between soul and spirit. It divides, right? It cuts. I think of that as like a knife. It cuts it real straight. And it's able to really do that deep work that God wants to do in our life. If you compare, and if you have time, I encourage you, if you read Genesis 1, then read the Gospel of John chapter 1, and then read 1 John 1, you're going to see some similarities. They're like, it's pretty cool. But, you know, like, in the beginning was the Word. I'm going to go on this again. The Word was with God. The Word was God. But then you notice a progression, right? First you have the Word, right? Then comes the Word of life. So from the Word comes life. And then you notice the third thing that happens, light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, who's the light of the world today? Hello. So it's like, we're supposed to be the light. You know, Israel was mentioned as a city set on a hill, right? In the Gospel of Matthew, that was really speaking of the nation Israel. Israel dropped the ball. Now what happened? The church, we pick up the ball until the tribulation. We'll go, here you go. We pass the baton. That's really what's going to happen. I don't know, what's that word called for end time prophecy? That's eschatology stuff. But anyway, we're the light of the world now. So in order for us to be a light, we need to have light, right? we gotta have the real light. And the light comes from the Word of God. You know, we read the Bible and we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts. That's really how the Holy Spirit works today. You read the Word and then you give him that room to grow. And then from that, we can actually show light. Like Brother Mark was saying earlier, you know, we can be long-suffering. We can endure. We can not be discouraged. How else can you do that? I can't do that on my own. Isaiah says that they walk in the sparks of their own light, talking about the Pharisees. I mean, they're creating their own light. They're creating their own moral goodness. They're trying to do something out of what they know, but it's not produced from a relationship with God. And I bring this up because this is really where my heart has been when it comes to this. Now, I'm just going to read out some scriptures. If you guys, just for your own notes, for your own study's sake, the Bible tells us to do three things with the Word of God, all right? In 1 Timothy 4:13, it tells us to read the scriptures, right? Timothy is encouraged by Paul, which would be his mentor, read the scriptures, right? Give attention to reading. You don't have to look into the Greek for that one. It means exactly what it says, read the Bible. He's saying read the Bible. You have in I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 2:15, you guys heard this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're called to study the word of God. Now that's a little different. I've been convicted about reading because I am so, you know, study, and I just believe God has called me to preach and teach his word, and because of that, I always have this hunger to just want to study and search scripture and compare things, but he kind of hit me the other day and says, you know, this is, you know, a while ago, this is a word he gave me. He's like, you're not spending time with me. Like, you're not spending time with me. You're not just, you know, reading the word and just felt. You guys ever just wake up in the morning? I love this. I love waking up early in the morning, like before the sun comes out. Get a cup, big cup of black coffee, right? Dave, black coffee. You get a big cup of black coffee. It's got to be good coffee. Can't be like instant or nothing. And I'm not incarcerated anymore. I ain't got to live like that. And get a big cup of coffee and sit down and just pray. Say, Lord, open my heart. And I have no hidden agenda. I have nothing. I'm not looking for anything. I'm not trying to read into it. I just want to hear what the Lord has for me today. And so that's reading. Study. That's when you compare scripture with scripture. It says in 1 Corinthians that we compare spiritual things with spiritual things, right? Jesus says the words that I speak to you, they are spirit. And they are life. And that's also the interpretation of the whole body and blood and stuff like that. You're not eating his flesh. It's his words, and that produces the change in you. So the words that I speak, they are spirit, they are life. So we compare the scripture with the scripture. That's what gives a proper interpretation, all right? The word of God has to be, there is no private interpretation of scripture. The whole scripture interprets itself. When you read about like Tyndale and he first started translating the Bible, you know how he translated words into English? He's like, I used the Bible. He didn't use the language. He used the Bible. He would take what he had and allow that to interpret what it meant. It's amazing when you look at that stuff. But this is how we do it. We take the Bible, and what does the Bible say about this? And we go to that study. So the third one would be found in John 5:39. This is when the Pharisees said, he pretty much unbraided the Pharisees. And he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are which testify of me. Search the scriptures. In the context, even in the Greek there, it's a command. Search the scriptures. And why? For you think they testify of me. Sometimes you just got to search them. Sometimes you got to open the Bible. Anyone in here ever read an Old Testament psalm and you just start reading it and you're like, I don't think this is David talking. It's Jesus, right? Lo, it comes written in the volumes of the book. I come to do thy will, O Lord. It's not David. You'll read psalms sometimes and it says, I've been perfect from my youth. I've been, or whatever. It'll say stuff and it's like, that's Jesus. That's the word of God. He's speaking. It testifies of me. So the word of God, and this is also important. I'm back in 1 John. So those are the three things that we're commanded to do with the word of God. That is to read it, to study it, and to search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. All right, 1 John. I'm going to read here, though. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. So he's saying in the context earlier, we have the word of life. We handled it, right? He's speaking of Jesus Christ personally when he was on the earth, but he calls him the word of life. We declare unto you that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So it's pretty interesting. He talks about, right after that, he talks about fellowship. And if you continue going down, then you see, right, the word. This is the same context. Remember, in the first verse, you have word of life. Then you have you have the word life. Then you have light coming up. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness and sin. We have fellowship one with another. So there it is. You have the word, life, then it produces light in our lives. But I want to bring this up if I can. You guys mind if I go like 10 minutes over today? If I get my, you guys don't mind? Okay. It produces a light in us. But the fellowship here is so important to understand, because fellowship in the body of Christ is around this book. I know it sounds legalistic, but it's the truth. That's what it is, the book. That's what it calls it in the Bible, in Revelations, he opened the book. It's the book. This is where the fellowship needs to be. The fellowship needs to be centered and focused around the word of God. Has anybody ever been around a spiritual Christian before and you try talking to them and they just want to talk about Jesus? And you're like, oh, no, I just want to gossip with you. I just want to do this. No, I'm just kidding. I've been that person. Never mind. Like, shut up. No. But it's like, you know, it doesn't mean that every time you see a Christian, you have to say, and it was written. You don't have to do that. No. But it becomes life. It becomes life. Like, it produces light in us, and we're able to endure. We're able to really be sincere and listen to a person and talk with them. And then listen for the Holy Spirit, which he'll use the word of God, to give us counsel so that we can talk to them and bring light into their life. But we need to understand that it's our fellowship in the church needs to be around this, because if it's not, it's worldliness, and it's a killer of the church today, right? We like to move and groove to the music, right? Like that popcorn and all that other stuff, and it's cool. We should do that, right? Because you don't want your kids going out doing that in the world, but it needs to be around the word of God. Go to Revelation chapter 3 really quick, and I'm just going to rattle off some more scriptures. If you guys want to go home, if you guys read Revelations 19, 11 through 13, Jesus is called, he's riding on a horse. This is the second advent. He's called the word of God there. So another important scripture is in 1 John 5, 7. 1 John 5, 7. I'm going to go there real quick if we can. Because we were just in 1 John. Let's just go to 1 John 5, 7. So Revelations 19, 11 through 13, and correlate that with 1 John. We're studying now. 1 John 5, 7. All right. So it says this, for there are three that bear record in heaven. So this is in heaven, right? It says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So we have the Trinity there, okay? So Jesus, his name and position in heaven is what? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. You guys are good. I'm just trying to have fun. All right. So we have, and if you read in Revelations 19, chapter verse 11 through 13, you see he's coming on a horse, and he has a sword, right, coming out of his mouth. He's going to smite the nations, but he is called the word of God. So his name in heaven is the word of God. On earth he's known as the Lord Jesus Christ, but in heaven, in his eternal position as a second man of the Trinity, the person, three distinct eternal persons, one essence, God, he is the word of God. And with that in mind, just go to Revelation chapter 3 real quick. He just looks at me. So we're going to go to the Laodicean church age. Is anybody in here familiar with these teachings about how each church age can, we believe, represent certain church periods, right? We're in the last one, which is Laodicea. Every single church period we can take something from all of Revelation, but it's been known that we're in the Laodicean church age. But listen to this, and I always pondered over this, but I believe I understand now. Listen to this. Go to the last verse. You guys know this. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." And that verse has been taken in 107 different directions since I've been in the church. Right? I heard like, oh, that's Jesus talking to unsaved people, knocking at the door of their heart. You know, I evangelize a lot. We've used scriptures like that. But that's not that's actually not the interpretation. Because he's speaking to what? Yeah, born-again, safe, spirit-filled Christians. He's not talking to unsaved people. He's talking to the church. And then at the end, it says here, "He that hath an ear," 22, "let him hear what the Spirit," capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, "saith unto the churches." So he's speaking to Christians. So what is he saying here? Is he saying there are people that are in the churches that aren't born again? I don't think that. No, I do believe that there are a lot of people in church that are not regenerated. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're just professors. I don't know. God knows. The Lord knows those are his. But he's speaking to born-again children of God here. All right. He's not speaking to unsaved people. So how can Jesus not? I don't understand. What does this mean? This is what I truly mean. I think it means. Who's speaking here? It says I, right? That's first person. That's Jesus. Where is he when he's saying this? Come on, Bible students here. Where is he? But when John's getting this revelation, where is Jesus at this moment? What's his name in heaven? The Word of God is at the door of the church. This church age doesn't know the Word of God. That's what I truly think it believes. And the reason why I believe that, because it says here, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." Now, it doesn't say unto him or into, or it doesn't put it together like into, meaning like he needs to come in you physically because he's already in you. He's saying, if any man hear my voice in the church and open the door, I will come in and I will have fellowship with him. That's what he's saying. So he's saying that really churches, and I don't know if, and I'm not trying to condemn churches, but I mean, we got so many churches today, prosperity gospel, and we have name it and claim it, and we have, you know, I came out of the charismatic movement, charismatic and Pentecostal churches, and some of them really love the Lord, and I love a lot of the things I learned in there, but some of their stuff was a little, you know, they'd be speaking in tongues for an hour and doing all that crazy stuff. Not trying to, if you speak in tongues, that's fine. I'm just saying that's... You know, it's hard to hear the voice of God when you hear, oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like you're not hearing the voice of God in that stuff. But it's true, is it not, though, that you can go into a church sometimes and everything is happening but hearing the Word of God. That's what he's saying. That's what I believe. You have another interpretation, I'll sit down and have coffee and we'll talk about it. I like to hear these things. Provoking one another to love and good works in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens, though? I don't want to ask, what happens when we don't read the Bible? Like I said, I want to end with this. How many situations do you guys deal with a day? How many times do you guys have to deal with people in your life? How many times is there going to be a tribulation, as Dave brought the other night? It was really good. You're either, what did you say, coming in, you're in a trial, right? There you go. So those three things, how are we going to handle those situations, right? Do you know do you guys know some examples in the Bible of people that don't know how to handle situations? We can pick on them because it's in here. You guys remember, I think it was James and John. Remember the sons of thunder when Jesus was rejected? And they're like, should we just call down fire out of heaven and demolish them, right? And Jesus just looks at them and says, you know not what spirit you're of. The Son of Man has not come to destroy lives, but to save, right? So what were they leaning on? What happens when you don't know the word of God? You get in your emotions. That's what happens. What about Peter? You remember when Jesus was speaking to him? He's like, I got to go to the cross and be delivered. No, he says, I got to go be delivered of the Pharisees and die, and then the third day I'll raise. What did Peter do? He turned, no, Lord, you're not going to die. You know what I mean? Sentimentality. That's what you're left with when you don't know the word of God. Emotion, sentimentality, but there's no light in it. It can't produce life. When we take in what God has said and really believe it, when we read it, when our eyes are in the word of God, it's like we how like if the eye is single and the whole body be full of light, how great that light. But if the eye be darkness, how great that darkness. I always think about that. You know, it's very important that we're daily Bible readers. And I encourage you guys, if you guys can read, I try to read. There's no like set amount you have to do every day. It's to your as your capacity grows. But I encourage you, read the Bible every day. If it's a couple of pages, I try to read at least 10 or 15 pages a day. Just reading. I'll read it, and that's because it's hard for me not to try to go and study everything I just read, because that's where I'm struggling, and that's what this message is. God spoke to me. I just want you to read the Word, because that's how you, he says, I'll come in and sup with you. That's the fellowship we need to have, is with the Word of God. I hope you guys know. You guys understand? You guys ever just read the Word, he just speaks, it blows you out of your seat. You're like, oh my goodness, and like you get... That's what we need, and that's what the church needs, because when we're not doing that, it's not going to, we can't have fellowship with one another, walking in the light. You guys ever hear that old hymn? It says, trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still. Trust and obey. All right, that's it. I'm done.
Fire breath.
I'm done. You ever guys ever been to a preacher where they hit the you guys ever been with those kind of man. That was the first pastor I ever had. I'm still learning. All right, Father, I thank you for this word, Lord. We thank you for the fact that you are faithful, Lord. You haven't left us in the dark. You've written a book to us. It's personal. Every single one of us has something in it for us, Lord. Daily, we can come to you and drink of the waters of life, and it's free, Lord. The world has no answer for us. Satan, he's got answers, but we don't want those answers. Even in our flesh, Lord, our sentimentality, our emotions, our intellect, our self-will, all that, Lord, it can seem nice, but Lord, we know that it won't produce life. Lord, we need to hear from heaven. Lord, we need to receive from you. Father, I pray that you would use this word to bless each one of us. Help us to walk in it, Lord. Help us to do and to do it with love, Lord, with joy. It produces joy. I've written to you, John says, that you may have, your joy might be filled. This is where joy is produced from, not happiness off happenings and chance and stuff, but joy. It is a supernatural gift of God. Peace, love, these things are produced. It is the fruit of the Spirit, and it comes from your word. And Lord, I just pray for each one of us, Lord, that we would really get with you this week, and Lord, be encouraged, and really have something that's worth holding on to. Father, I just pray for each soul in here that came. Thank you for their participation. Lord, bless them, and they say go out tonight, Lord. And as we enter in the corporate prayer, Lord, that you put on our hearts how to pray, who to pray for, Lord. There's a lot going on, and we just ask, Lord, we need the leading of your Spirit. And Father, we just thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys don't have to clap. I never like the clapping anyway. I get so sick of it. I'm like, oh, yeah, rah, 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 rah. Yeah. No, it's nice. It's an encouragement, you know, but like, no, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm sorry. That's how I am. I'm very rough, and I hurt people's feelings, and I always find myself apologizing. I'm just not an emotional and sentimental person.